the end of Perek Gimel, we're up to the section where Sanballat and Tobiah make their appearance. They raise their heads. So came over to Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. We've concluded the construction of the wall. The wall has not been completed. We're going to learn in Perek Dalet. Exactly what happens. It does not go well. It's not so easy. But at least in this Perek Gimel, we've learned how Nehemiah, how he has assigned all the various sections of the wall in counterclockwise order to all the various members of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, gave them what to do. Now, what happens in Pasuk Lamed Gimel? Yehi kasher shama Sanballat. Now, Nehemiah is speaking in first person. When Sanballat heard ki anachnu vonim es hachoma, that we are building the wall, vayichar lo, he got angry. Vayichas harbei, two expressions, vayichar, he heated up, and vayichas harbei. It appears that yichar means an internal type of anger. And kas is where the internal anger, sometimes you get upset, but you don't express it. Kas is where it overflows, the internal frustration overflows into an expression where you actually do something, you act upon it. And then further, a third expression, vayal eg al hayehudim himacht. He mocked the Jews. Three things. Yichas and Vayaleg ala Yehudim, he mocked. Not only did he express himself physically by showing his anger, he actually went and he expressed himself. Vayomer Pasuk Lamed Vayomer, and he said, Lefnei Echa, before his brethren, Bechel Shemron, and the army of the Shemronim. The Shemronim were the Kusim. They were the Kusim that were put here by Melech Ashur about 200 over how many years ago? This was about 200 years ago. 200, even more. The Churban, the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim was 125 years before the Churban. And now the Churban, then we have 70 years of the Churban, which takes us to 195. And now we're about 25 years later since the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So we are about 220 years into, since the Shemroinim have settled in the land, who are the Kusim, Vayomer, and here Sanballat said in the presence of his brethren, which are all the enemies, the Tzor Yehuda, Vayomer, Mo HaYehudim Ho'a, a lot of insulting words, Ho'a Me'lolim Oisim. The word Me'lolim means feeble. People who are weak. If we look at the Mitzudos Sion, Ho'ah Me'lolim Hanichrosim, they're cut off. People that have no future. They have no connection to the past, no connection to the future. They're cut off. The Chalushin, and they are weak. That's what it means, exactly. So that so the Mitzudos is being a little more precise. They're people that are cut off. They have no connection to anyone. Any source of strength, and they are cholosh, they are very weak. So what are they doing? Hayazvu lohem. Now here he has a whole number of expressions, very interesting expressions. So first, like all rhetorical questions. Hayazvu lohem. Will they be able to fortify, lashon of success, or to strengthen? In the Tanakh, the word ozov means, it's a word which has two meanings. Sometimes it means to abandon. It's the same exact word with the same spelling. It's a very strange word. It all depends on the context. Sometimes it means to abandon, and sometimes it means to strengthen. Azov tazov imo, you shall help him, you shall assist him. And so, al tazvenu, do not abandon us. So it's a very unusual word. It's the same spelling, and sometimes it means to abandon, sometimes it means to strengthen. It's not so far-fetched, because many times we do find one word, depending on the nikud, where it has an opposite meaning. Like yishrosh, yisharesh. To take root, and to uproot. Sokol means to put a stone to stone, to throw a stone down. Yisokel means to uproot a stone. I once gave you, told you a Jewish, I tried to suggest this, not everyone is so crazy about this idea of Tzion. Is Tzion, what does it mean, Tzoyon? We have in Yeshaya two or three times in Yeshaya Tzayon. Tzayon means an arid, dry land. A land that is void of any moisture. Tzayon, no. Tzadi Yud Vav Nun. Tzayon. Tzayon means a land that is void of moisture, completely parched, arid. And then we have this term for Eretz Yisrael, for Yerushalayim, Tzion. So I suggest this to many midrashim over the years, people, experts. I guess Rabbi Edelman, he wrote a sefer on Diktok. He's a moyel, and maybe you know who he is, Rabbi Edelman. He's a very big bucky in Diktok. He gives shiurim in Diktok. And I guess Rabbi Brieger, I think, in Tar Vadas, he writes curriculum for elementary schools on Diktok. And then I has presented this to Rabbi Lenschitz. He wrote Maftech Adelas. It's a classic work on Diktok. And they all were like lukewarm. Lukewarm. What?
You also have the word
Litzayin,
to mark.
To mark. That's posh. That all the commentators say. That the word Tzion means Tzoyun. Tzoyun means a marker, a great marker. But I wanted to suggest is that Torah is compared to water. Torah is Hoikol Tzamel L'chulamayim. And Ki Mitzion Teitze Soira. So Tzion means a land that's wet. If Tzoyun means a land that's arid, then Tzion, the same exact letters with a different nikud, can mean that it's moist, it's wet. What is it wet with? Ki mitzion teitzei sora, because we have hoy kol mayim called samei l'chulamayim. Here, from all the words, I think the most bizarre of them all is the word azov, because the word azov with the same spelling, don't even have to change the spelling. Azov sometimes means, like in this pasuk, haya azvu lohem, will they be successful in fortifying, in strengthening? Here it means to strengthen, in strengthening the wall of the city. Rashi, Loshen Rashi, Hayazvu, Loshen Maziva, Vuhu Miloi Heofer Lechazoik. It means to fill up like a roof. A roof means to strengthen, to fill up the area with earth in order to strengthen the surrounding, the environment, the area that needs chizuk. But the word Azoiv also means, it means also to abandon. So we have here one word which means two things. But here he's coming to knock the Jewish people, and he says, will they be successful? Will they be able to fortify the walls? Hayiz, hayiz bochu. Now what does it mean, hayiz, hayiz bochu? Zevach. This means to offer sacrifices. Now what does he mean? Are they going to offer sacrifices? He's not discussing it with Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash already is functional. They're already offering sacrifices. It means will they be able to celebrate? When you celebrate, celebrations in ancient times were accompanied by offering sacrifices. So he's saying, will they ever reach a point in this construction project where they'll come to a conclusion, to the completion of the wall, where they will celebrate the building of the wall, the completion of the construction of the wall of Yerushalayim? And when you celebrate, you typically offer sacrifices, carbon toda, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank Hashem for their success. HaYizbachu, will they celebrate? Hayichalu vayom. Chalu means will they be able to conclude it vayom on the day of the planned day. Vayom in this context means the day that they plan to complete. There's a project, there's an outline, there's a projection. How long will this construction project take? It'll take 2 weeks, a month, a year. We know that it took, I think, end of the Sefer, we learned that it took 52 days. So will they be able to complete it on schedule? Hayichayu eswa. Now this is a very beautiful expression. This powerful you learn from a goy, Sanbalat. There's what to learn from everyone. Hayichayu eswa avonim. Will they be able to give life to the stones? We typically translate a stone. There are four different levels of life. There's doimim, tsoneach, chai, medaber. Man is the highest level of creation, a medaber. And the lowest level is a doimim, something which has no life. And what is a doimim? A doimim is stone. It's earth and stone. So here he's saying that the Jews are planning to give life to the stones. It's a very fascinating insight. He was right. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to inject the stones of Yerushalayim with life. Hayichayu eswavonim. Will they be able to give life to stones? May Ramos afar from the pile, the mounds, the heap of dust, the hamas serufos, and the stones themselves are of poor quality because they've been torched. They have been burnt. It's hard for us to understand what that means, because the stone, you put stone in the fire, does it really affect? So it appears that it does. It appears that if you take stone, you put a stone in the fire for a prolonged period of time, it becomes brittle. It's not as strong as a natural stone, and it's easy to crack, to break, and to separate. So he's saying the stones over here that are lying around on the floor, which they're taking, they're coming to pick up and put into the walls, they have already been torched. They have already been burnt in fire from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon about 95 years ago. Will they really be able to give life to these dead stones? These dead stones, and lift them up from the heap of rubble and put them in place after they have been burnt and after they have been, their life has been sucked out of them? So this is the powerful expression of Sanballat Hachoroni, how he mocked after he had three expressions of Yichar, Vayichas, and Yaleg. These are his words of lag, of mock. Let us see the Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Gil, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Miriz, Lamed Gil, Lamed Dalet, Lifnei Echa V'chel Shemron, Lifnei Chaverov. Here he goes to complain and mock before his friends. He's preaching to the choir. Okay, he's to the media. Okay, so say Chaverov is the media. V'chel Shemron, and the army of the Shemron. Shemron was now occupied by the Kusim. Even today they call the Samaritans. The Samaritans are the ancient Kusim. Even though the Shemron was really the Aseres HaShvatim. Who are the original Shemronim? The Shemron was the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim. It was the equivalent of Yerushalayim. There was Yerushalayim for the Shvatim of Yehudim and Yamim. The Malchus Yisrael was occupied. The capital was in Shemron. So now that Melech Ashur exiled the Aseres HaShvatim and he replaced them with the Kusim. The Kusim from Kush. Kush, some say, is Ethiopia. They converted. They were Geri, either Geri Emes or Geri Arroyos. At this point in time, we know that they were already the Chazal declared that they are to be treated like non-Jews because they were no longer observant, and they became, in fact, the enemies of the natives that were coming back. They were coming back to rebuild Yerushalayim. So here they are called now the Shemroin. Shehayu Tsare Yehud. Do not make any mistake about it. The people in Shemron, the Kusim, they are the enemies of Yehuda. Mo HaYehudim, Madua HaYehudim Mekachem Oisim. What are they doing? Madua, what are they doing? Ha, then he have this unusual word. Ha. He mocks them by calling them the feeble. Ha, ah, me, lolim. Ingin chalishus, verifyonim means weakness. And two expressions of weakness. I don't know the difference. Chalshus and verifyon. Two different expressions are very weak. Hayazvu lohem.
Exhaustion.
Exhaustion. Okay, we'll go. All these different expressions, they're weak, they're feeble. The Mitzvah says they're cut off. Another word added to the equation. Then he goes on to say, Hayazvu lohem. Vichihem svurim asher yaazvu. That they will strengthen the anichu lohem ha'ovdei kachavim livnos, that the non-Jews will allow them, the enemies in the neighborhood will allow them to rebuild the walls of, they will Yazvu, I think over here he means to...
I understand that.
I think Yazvu here, according to Rashi, does not mean like them. It means they will leave them alone.
Right.
They will leave them, will means to abandon. Okay, we have two different words. The word azoiv, ayin zayin resh, ayin zayin beis, I'm sorry, means two things. Either means to abandon, or it means to strengthen. The Mitzvah clearly here learns it means to strengthen. Lashna aziva. Aziva means a roof, a container, an area of shelter, an area that has been sheltered, has been this fortified. The roof strengthens the enclosure, and that's, we had this pasuk before. We had this word before a few pasukim above in this parak. We had the same word used in that context. But Rashi here appears to learn that it means the typical example of ozov means to abandon, and it means that the enemies, the surrounding enemies, are going to leave them alone. They're not going to interfere. Asher v'chihem suvurim asher ya'azvu, they will abandon, they will not interfere, v'yonichu, and allow them, lohem ho'ev d'chav livnos, ha'yizbichu, im yizbichu lohem es zivcheyem, tamid, k'mo shehem suvurim, will they be able to offer. So here, according to Rashi, does not mean to celebrate, it means will they continue even to offer sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. Over here, Sanballat, according to Rashi, is revealing that not only does he not want them to succeed in building the walls around Yerushalayim, he wants that their prior success of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash should come to an end as well. That they shall cease from offering korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, even that which they are doing now, and have already succeeded for the last 25 years, even that should cease. Hayichlu Bayoim, im yichlu, yichlu means to complete. The ashlimu, yilkoshen of our call, to be finished. Im yichlu will, hayichalu will they complete. The yashlimu malachta masher hishilu, biyoim echod, loimar, and biyom echod in one day. What do you mean biyom echod, loimar? Shlo yanichom ho'evdekachavim ligmar espinyonam. The non-Jews will not allow them to conclude their malacha. So I think biyom echod means on a day. Will they be able to conclude, will they ever come to that moment in time where they will complete the construction project? The Yom Echad, that day, the non-Jews in the neighborhood will never allow this to happen. Hachayu, im yichyu, will they live, yisaknu, v'yachaziru, and return, ho'avonim likadmosam, will they live and establish and return the stones to the original state, liyos koshos v'chazokos min ha'ofar, to be strong and strengthened from the earth which keeps the stones in place. So it appears from Rashi, it's not the simple translation of the pasuk, it's definitely not the way other commentators translate it. We'll see them in a moment. Hayichayu means, will the Jews live? Right? Im yichayu, v'yisaknu, v'yachaziru, no, not necessarily. Will the stones come to life?
It's a reference to the stones.
Stones, okay, it's a very unusual expression. Will stones come to life? It's a beautiful expression. I mean, think about it. You're going to give life. That's the koyach. That's exactly what the Jewish people want to do. They want to give life to stones. I remember someone told me that about a certain person, very successful in business. And whatever he touched, he made a killing. Like a mam shloi kederach hateva. He's no great brains, no great education, but whatever he went into business. So he got involved. Someone went and God, I'll tell you the whole story, but he made money in the most bizarre situation. Most people would lose a lot of money, but something happened to him, and it ended up just money fell into his lap. So they said that this guy, he can shake money out of a tree. You just could touch a tree, shake a tree, and money comes out. That's exactly over here. You can give life to stones. Even something which is, that's what the Jewish people, that's how much will it appears they presented themselves when they came to Yerushalayim, to Eretz, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They came with such will to give life even to dead stones. Okay, let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Lamigum. There's a lot of interesting things over here. Pasuk Lamigum V'yichar Lo Belev. So here the Mitzudos says over here that he was very angry in the heart. V'yichas Hayrek Haso. He showed his anger externally. And then he went on to Mak. Sanva went on to Mak. What is the benefit? What are you going to accomplish with your deeds? So here the Mitzudah of Slav English, so the same thing as the Mitzudah of Sion. He translates the word of Ya'azvu, not like Rashi. As Rashi said, it means, will the non-Jews leave you alone? Here he means, will the Jewish people succeed in strengthening for themselves, with filling up with earth, ke'oimer. What does it mean? What namely? What does this pasuk mean to say? V'chiyesh chizuk ma el ha'choimer. Is the wall going to really have any strength? Do the Jews have the talent? Do they have the resources? Do they have the capability to make a wall that really is going to strengthen and fortify, protect the city? Hayizbichu v'chiyizbichu zivchei simcha b'meloi sabin. Will they celebrate? Okay, so not like Rashi. Rashi learns the pasuk hayizbichu. Will they even continue to maintain the status quo? Forget about building the walls. Will they even be able to hold on to the Beis HaMikdash? That's not the way the Mitzudos stones. Will they celebrate? Sacrifices of joy. When you conclude a project, you bring a carbon toida. Bimlos, and we will indeed see that they did bring a carbon toida. When they finished building the walls, the end of the Sefer Nechemiah, they did bring a carbon toida. And now they bring carbon toida, they march. They took the breads. So when you bring carbon toida, you bring 40 breads. And you're supposed to march. They marched around the perimeter of the city in order to sanctify Yerushalayim. And now we know is very critical. We discussed because kedusha rishona kitcha l'shaita v'loy kitcha l'asalavo. Once the base hamikdash was destroyed in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the sanctity of Yerushalayim departed. Now, when they built the bayis sheni, they had to give it new sanctity. And why is it necessary to give Yerushalayim new sanctity? For the laws of meiser sheni and for the laws of eating kodshei kalim within the walls of Yerushalayim. It's not at all clear what they were doing until now. During these 25 years, when the Yerushalayim was not yet sanctified, where exactly did they eat Ma'aser Sheni? Maybe they did not eat Ma'aser Sheni because you need to have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. You don't have that Kedusha. And likewise, what did they do when they came to the Kodesh Kalim? Where did they eat? Maybe they only ate inside the Azara because they did not have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. That only came later, 25 years later, time of Nehemiah, when they actually sanctified the walls of Yerushalayim. So here he's saying, well, they one day come to that point in time where they will sacrifice of simcha. What are the Jews doing? They're building a weak little structure. They really think they're going to, they have such grand plans and they're going to celebrate. It's ridiculous. And you know, there's definitely truth to what he says, because I've mentioned many times, you go look at the map, the art school map, and probably the Das Torah, the Das Mikra, the Das Mikra Atlas. It's a very good sefer. It goes through the entire Tanakh. You're learning Tanakh now, so he has different maps on different periods, and there they have a map. They have maps of all the different tkufas, different reference points. The wall that they're building is a very, very small area. It's not like the grand Yerushalayim today, which has been greatly enlarged. It's very, very small. So this is what I told you before. Will they conclude the building on the day that they project? On the day asher yachshuvu lehashlimo. Ki devarav hoya be'es Hachilam Livnoso Sanbalat. This is an important point. Sanbalat is speaking now. We're going back in time. If you go to the Psukim in Paragimel, you get the impression when you come to Pasuk Lamed Gimel that they're finished. Right? They're finished. Nehemiah assigns everyone with a job. You do this section, you do this section. Now here we have concluded the project. And then Sanballat begins to speak. So it appears Sanballat is speaking when the project is already complete or near completion. So Rashi, the Mitzvah, makes it very clear. And this is critical for the next, is really much more critical for the next parak. The whole parak Dalet is everything we're learning now is before the project even started. Nehemiah assigns, you do this, you do this, you do this, and now let's go before they even lay the first brick. Sanballat sees what's going on, and he begins to mock. What do you think you're doing over here? Will you ever come to a conclusion? He spoke beis hachilam livnoso when they began, when the construction project began. The people, the builders, are a few, just a few people over here that are participating in this project. Do you really think you're going to conclude this? Okay, and again, Rashi is not clear. I'm not exactly sure what Rashi means. Rashi says, "Asher hischilu biyoyim echad." Hayichlu v'yom. Go back to that Rashi. Im yichlu v'yashlimu melachtam asher hischilu, which they have started biyoyim echad, on one day. From Rashi, you take Rashi at face value, it seems that they plan on building the wall in one day. Does that make sense? Could that make sense? So what then does Rashi mean? The truth is very clear. B'yom Echad, when it says here in the Pasuk, it means the projected day. The day when they plan to conclude their like a project. How long will it take to build the Freedom Tower? Right? So they're already telling us it should have been built already 5 years ago. It should have been finished already a long time. There's a projected day when it will be concluded. So what does it mean? So according to the Mitzvah, there is a projection conclusion. But according to Rashi, it appears there's something more. They want to conclude it very quickly. It doesn't say the word echad in the pasuk. All it says in the pasuk is hayichalu vayom. Will they conclude it on a day? Rashi says biyom echad. Okay, next words in the Mitzvah. Hayichayu v'chiyuchlu l'chazek Eswavonim Ashrahim Lukuchim Marimos Ofar Hanasimitsrodos and Avne Hachema Hanafula. Do they really think they can take rubble, stones that are lying on the floor, and put them into the wall and rebuild strong walls? Do they really think they can give life to these rubble? Now this is also an important point. There's a fundamental difference between the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon were built with massively large stones. The stones were quarried by Tsar in a different, all the way up north. They were sent down. They were very large stones. In the Bayis Sheni, the stones that were used were much smaller. They were much smaller stones. In fact, many of the stones we see over here were rubble, were taken from the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. They did not have the resources to quarry massively large stones and transport them with all the technology that existed at that time to the location where they wanted to insert them. Hordas, about 300 years later, he indeed did have sent his people, and they did quarry massively large stones and import them and bring them to where it was needed. But at this point in time, when the Bayis Sheni was being built, they were using small little stones. And that is discussed by the commentators, and they explain that it's all part of the religious difference between the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Sheni, the Choma, it doesn't just represent a physical wall. It represents something spiritual. It represents protection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us. He is guarding us. The degree of hashkacha, of protection, of the Bayis Rishon was represented in massively large stones. The Shechina, Hashem's presence, was sensed to a much greater degree. In the Bayis Sheni, the stones were smaller. And that represented the spiritual counterpart to the physical manifestation of small stones, represented that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection of Klal Yisrael was not sensed with that same degree of intensity as the Bayis Rishon. Yeah? The Kotel was built most by the Ottoman Empire. Was built about 1,000 years ago. It was built by the Turks.
It wasn't the wall around Yerushalayim was built by Suleiman.
Suleiman, right. And even the coast cell.
The walls of the Ashlars, they had like a border around them. Hordas used the same walls for the Maris HaMachpelah. He built that also.
Also, uh-huh.
And Caesarea, right. Also. The same. A typical
Hordas style. They have the border, right. They have the border.
There's a picture in that book of the stones that the thing you use. They're tiny small stones.
Which book? That the Purim book? The Purim book. They have that. That's okay. Okay, but when you go to Eretz Yisrael today, the Eretz Yisrael has been, unfortunately, been occupied by the Christians, by the Muslims, by the Turks, and there's a lot of construction over the last 2,000 years, a lot of destruction and construction, and every little section, they'll tell you, I think the coastal, I have a book of the coastal, they'll show you the coastal itself. Every couple of rows was built by a different empire. And they said that if you go all the way down, which you can't see the coastal, because the part that we see by the coastal today is all the way up. It's covered by dirt. They say that the foundation stones of the coastal Hamaravi, David HaMelech, or Shlomo HaMelech, actually laid. Only on the coastal Hamaravi, not on the other sides. Because we have a tradition that when Titus sent us four generals, they were successful in demolishing the three sides, but not the Maravi.
Taka looks like rubble.
This narrative shows as a wall of Jerusalem built by Nehemiah during the Torah. So which side, where is this? Which section is this? Yeah, very interesting. It's fascinating. Okay. So you see these little teeny stones of Nehemiah. Here there's a picture. You can pass this around. Okay, so some part of the building, you see over here, these are very small stones, look like rubble. The stones are not very pretty. You can pass it around. And that's really what it means in the pasuk. Now you look at that picture, you really get an appreciation of this pasuk, this expression, Hayichayu Eshoavonim Me'aremoi Se'ofar Ve'hema Srufos. Are you going to give life to dead stones? A dead stone is a stone that's been from a wall that's been demolished. You go outside, there's a dumpster, someone does some construction, demolition, they're broken stones. You're going to give life to dead stones? It's a very interesting expression. mitzrayos av neachem hanefula vehema. Halayu last words of the mitzudas. Halayu avonim oyel lehema serufa ispoesh. They are burnt in fire. The chayzik malachem. What koyach are there to these stones? Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk lamid hey. Vitovia hamoni etzlo. Who was his right hand man, his henchman? You always have misery loves company. Who was Sanballat's partner? Vitovia hamoni etzlo. Tovia hamoni from the nation of Ammon was at his side. Vayomani said gam asherhem boinim. He may he mock. Now this is powerful stuff here. There's a good, this is very nice medrash on this. Gam asher him boilim. Even what they build, you know what? Let them build. Go right ahead. Whatever they'll build, even when a fox will walk on it, it will crumble. Now when a fox, when a fox travels very quickly, a fox is very swift, so a fox doesn't apply much pressure to what it's stepping on. But even the teeny, teeny amount of pressure that a fox applies to pavement, to the stone that it steps on, will cause this feeble construction project to crumble. Vayomer gam asher heim boinim, even this that they built, im ya'aleh shu'ol, if a fox will ascend upon the row of bricks that they lay, uforatz, it will crumble, it will be breached, choymas, the wall of avnehem. Let us see Rashi, Pasik lamed hey, v'toviyo ha'moni etzlo, toviyo ha'ya etzlo shel Sanballat. He was near etzlo. Rashi says etzlo, make no mistake, it's not referring to Nehemiah, it's referring to Sanballat. V'yomer v'kachu yomer u'malik, this is a continuation of the mockery. Gam ha'shohim bo'inim, af ha'binyin hazeh ha'shohim bo'inim, im yal l'shu'ol al ha'binyin l'ifor tzchoy ma'su'ir. If a fox would attempt to walk, to step on the binyin, l'ifor to shatter, to breach the wall of the city, ma yehei olav, what's going to be? What's going to happen? It's like the rhetorical question. What's going to happen to the wall? Loimar, what he meant to say through his mockery was, she'ein lebinyan takana, the project is worthless. The chol mi sheyirtze yavo v'yifritzpo, anyone who wants will be able to go and breach. Now, what is the symbolism here in this pasuk? It's obvious. Is pasuk in Yirmiyah, Shu'alim hol chuba. Part of the description of the Chumash Hamikdash is the pasuk. I thought I had it over here.
Gemara is a famous
right. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva laughed when he saw the fox coming out. So he quoted the pasuk. The pasuk in is a Yirmiyah. Is a Yirmiyah. What? Shua. Shu'olim al har tzion she'shamem shu'olim hol chuba. Foxes hol chuba are traveling through the ruins. So it's Eicha al har tzion she'shamem shu'olim hol chuba. Foxes traverse the har tzion which is shamem. Yeah.
But it was a true statement when Nehemiah went to survey the conditions of the wall, he also found that, you know, touching it crumbled.
Absolutely, correct. But he didn't say the word of a fox.
No.
Here he's coming to add that what Tovia Hamonim, they must have been versed in Yirmiyah,
yeah,
and Eicha. And he's trying to hint that the curse of Al Har Tzion Sheshem Shu'olim Hol Chuba will endure forever. And don't think, yeah, Shu'olim Hol
Chuba.
Foxes.
I sometimes symbolize things that do damage.
Okay.
The Shu'ol is portrayed as the little foxes that do damage.
Or okay.
Shimshon's use of the foxes and so on. So you see, they're mazikim, they do damage to things.
What was the database program called? Fox? Fox Pro?
Fox
Pro. No, Fox Pro. That was Fox Pro. That was a famous database program for years. Dominated for years. Okay. Next. Okay, so now, okay, that concludes. Let's just see the Mitsudos. Pasik Lamed Hein Mitsudos. Etzlo. He is standing. Omar Etzlo Bidibroi Hadrav Eilo. He was standing near Sanballat when he was spoken these horrible words. Vemagam Retzlemagam Hu Omar Divrei Lag. Kis Sanballat V'cho Omar. Habinyin Asherhim Boinim Im Shul Yalabo. If even if a fox will ascend, Yifrot Tzuchemas Avneim Ki Ubin Cholashmod, it's very, very weak. Okay, now enters Nech. Nehemiah. Nehemiah now speaks up and he says, Ribbono shel Olam, look what's going on over here. We have here Sanballat and we have here Tovia, and we can't take their words lightly because they're Shalom Aleichem. We can't take them. 5 weeks. I kept track. I counted.
It only takes attendance.
The kollel check. That's the best line I've heard here in a long time.
The rabbi didn't get a check.
The Tavia Hoamoni. So now he chimes in. He chimes in and he says, this their attitude has a lot of influence. If someone can dampen the spirits of the people, it's no light matter. I know my father always used to say over a story about a person makes an appeal in shul. He makes a passionate appeal. It's a true story. Someone came this during the time of the Van Hatzalah, during the time when they were trying to save people from the Nazis. So someone arrived. It's true. Someone arrived on Shabbos, from Chal Shabbos. Could be losing of Aaron Kotler. He came in a taxi on Shabbos. He went from shul to shul, and he got up in shul made a passionate plea: people should give money to save Jews that are being wiped out in Germany in by the Nazis. And he said it's sakonis nefashos, and people should even give the money right now on Shabbos. Right now, you're for real. It's like a pekuch nefesh. And the rabbi, this particular rabbi, he felt that if the people are going to give a substantial donation for this cause, it's going to they're not going to pledge to give to the shul. The resources will be dried up, and they're not going to pledge to the shul. And his salary, his parnas will be affected. So after the rabbi, so people were all worked up. It was a passionate a speech, and people had hasagas to give big money, and then the rabbi gets up and says, Rabbi Sai, the congregation has heard the words of the holy rabbi, and make sure you listen, you give, every penny counts. The people had hasagas to give in the hundreds, to give, and when he said every penny counts, he totally diminished their hasagas of what they were planning to give. They're going to give $100,000. Oh, let's give $5. Every penny counts. So here, when Tovia and Sanballat are mocking the Jewish people, we have to assume that it made an impression. People that were listening, people that were reading the newspaper, reading the New York Times, the Jews that came with a fire, and they came with a desire to give life, to breathe life into the dead stones, when they hear Sanballat saying, oh, when the foxes walk over your project, you don't know what you're doing, you bunch of Shvacha people, you're Chaloshim, you are Ho'amei Lolim, the God will never allow you. It affected them. It took away some of the fire in the people to build, to continue to build this, to continue. So here Nehemiah has a passionate prayer. Shema, now Nehemiah is speaking. Shema Elokeinu, Hashem our God, listen. Ki hayinu vuza, we are despised. V'hashev cherposam al rosham, and Hashem punish the evildoers. May you turn, may you restore the shame upon rosham, on their head. Take the shame that they're throwing upon us and put it upon Sanballat and Tovia, usneim leviza bi'eretz shivya, and make them for disgrace in the land shivya of their of captivity. Now, what exactly is all this? Let's over here the Midrash, Pasuk Lamidvav, Shema Elokeinu kasher shamata bebilogam. Just like you, Hashem, have heard, you certainly have heard their mockery. Aleinu hispalalti tfilazos, I prayed this prayer. Be'eret shivya. What does that mean? Sheyiglu me'al admosam kasher golinu. Let them be exiled. So what he's doing over here, be'eret shivya, in the land of their captivity. What he's saying between the lines, it's not clear in the pasuk. According to Rashi, he's being mevakesh that Hashem shall cause these people to be exiled. Sanballat and Tovia and the Shomroinim and all of these enemies that are living in this land, let someone come along and get rid of them. Take them away. Take them away, and they'll be taken into exile. They'll suffer the same fate that Jewish people have suffered over these last 95 years who have been exiled. And there, when they'll be in exile, you shall pour down upon them shame, bizoyon, and Cherbos. So one more time, the pasuk, read the pasuk. Shema Elokeinu, listen now, Elokeinu, ki yinu vuzo. Listen to this makri that they have cast upon us, and may you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do to them what they've done to us. V'hashev Cherbosam al Rosha, may you, Hashem, now return what they've given to us. Give back to them. Take it away. Take the shame away from us. Take the exile away from us, and give it to them. Return it to where it belongs to. L'cherposam al resham usneim leviza, and give them over for disgrace. Be'eret shivya, in the land of their captivity. Let someone come and take Sanballat and ship him off, and take Tovia and take all their friends and the Shemrayim. Get rid of them. Send them away. Who knows to where? And there they shall suffer. For torture and exile and zionus and charpa. Pasuk. Let's see the Rashi. How Rashi and the Metzudos. The Metzudos he translates the Shema. The Omar Nechemia. So he is an obvious point, but if you don't know the Pesukim, you can get confused. The one that's speaking here is Nechemia. When I first learned, I got all confused. Who's speaking? It's Nechemia that's speaking. He's been praying. Shema Elokeinu Kiyinu Livizayon V'Hashiv Mashem Lecharpanoi Sonu. What they do to us, take away and give it to them. The zionus comes from them. Hashiv Aleim Utsneim Liviz. When they will be in their own land of captivity, when they will be exiled and they'll be in the land of their own captivity, then you'll pour upon them shame. Pasuk, now let's finish the parak. Pasuk la mitzayin. Now he prays, he continues his prayer, va'al tichas al avonam, do not cover their sins. Hashem, do not cover up for their sins. May their sins before you never be covered, be erased. Because they have expressed anger before the people that want to rebuild your city, rebuild your walls. May we be successful. May we be successful to build, rebuild the wall. May we tie. So here we have a new expression, tying, they connect. Because everyone here, we have about 30 different sections that are being commissioned to different groups of Klal Yisrael to be rebuilt. They all have to connect. They all have to connect, interlink one into the other. So may we be successful. You know, our chain is only strong as its weakest link. So may v'tikosher ekol achoyma ad chetzina. What is ad chetzia? Chetzia means, this is phase one. Everyone now has been assigned to build their section only until half of its ultimate height. After phase one is complete, there's going to be a second round where we're going to go up another section. So chetzia means this is just phase one until, let's say, I don't know what the height was, but let's say you're planning on building 30 feet. Let's say that's what it's going to be. So this is only going to be built until 15 feet. And then we'll come to phase two, we're going to build until 30 feet. He's being mispala leif ha'olam la'asos. This is a very interesting expression, a very interesting prayer. Give the people the will to do. You don't often hear someone pray for this. You often hear a prayer, Hashem, I want. What I really want is I need to be successful, because there are many impediments, there are many obstacles. I need success. That's not what he's praying for. He's praying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you'll give the people the will, the mela, it will happen.
You're translating it as a bakasha,
yes,
of the future.
Yes.
It's not written that way. It's written in the past. Vaniv instead of vinivne. It's vanivne. Vati kasher vayehi.
But that's what it means, and it's interpreted in the future tense. I don't know exactly. Let's see the Rashi's. So just finish up quickly. Rashi pasuk lamid zayin the al tichas kmo the al tichaseh. Dugmas v'sod al acher al tigal, do not reveal. Kamo al tigale, just like we have tigal, the word tichas is short for, we're missing a hey. Just like we're missing a hey, the word tigal in Mishle, and there means a secret. V'sod Achar, al tigal, do not reveal another secret. The word here tigal really means tigaleh, with a hey. Here the word tichas is short for tichaseh. Ki hechisu, asher hechisu, why? Why should you, what exactly is their sin they have angered? Asher hechisu, neged aboinim lahaligam, they have got angry, and their anger has provoked them to mock the builders, and the builders have been affected. Their passion and their desire to build the walls have cooled off because of the mockery that Sanballat and Tobiah have expressed. This is the ultimate sin. This is the ultimate sin when you take away a person's will. And that's why he's saying, don't let this sin be covered. Do not erase the sin. You know, a lot of the Bali Musar, it's a very interesting idea, a lot of the Bali Musar, they did not, I'm talking about the real big Bali Musar, the previous generations, they did not put their Musar into writing until the end of their life. Because it's very common, every person has a certain experience where you are machadesh a Dvar Torah. Or you know of a Dvar Torah, and you go to your friend and you tell him, I have the most amazing Dvar Torah to tell you. And you tell him the Dvar Torah. And your friend listens and he goes, not so good. Or, oh yeah, it's a good Vart. Yeah, it's a good Vart. Or let's say you do construction, right? You do a new bathroom in your house and you spent years picking the tiles and the sink and the mirror, and then you think it's magnificent. It belongs in a museum. And then you bring in your neighbor, your best friend. You see what I've done. You see my new kitchen, my new bathroom. Not bad. It affects you. It definitely affects you. Your passion.
Praise.
Exactly. Faint praise. Exactly. So that is exactly what Sanballat and Tobiah have done. And here, Nehemiah considers this to be the ultimate sin. The ultimate sin in taking away, dampening their passion, their desire to succeed in building the wall of Yerushalayim. And he says, Hashem, don't ever forgive them. Don't cover the sin and don't erase it before you. And afterwards, in Pasuk Lamed Ches, he prays, let's be successful. And the success shall be vati kosher, a new expression. Yeah, you don't have this often, that the wall is called a knot. We shall tie a knot around Yerushalayim, kasher nik niskashra hachoyma, when the wall will be knotted, will be tied, connected to the nivnes ad chetzia, until half the halfway point, which means in height. Oz hoyalev ha'am loho to moshuch lasos binyan hachoyma. So, you're right, Rashi seems to be saying that it's not a tefillah. You're right, he's saying it's a statement. I made a mistake then. Oz hoyalev, and until that point, the hearts of the people was lohot, was motivated. So that nivnes so yiraim. So I made a mistake. It's not a prayer. He's making a statement now. Pasuk lamed hey is not a prayer. Vanivne, we built es hachoyma. We built the wall. Vatikosher kol hachoyma ad chetzia. Vayihi lev la'am. There was a desire. It's for the people lasos to do. Okay, so he's saying over here that they would succeed it. And then in part perek dal, we're going to jump back. And we're going to jump back in time and tell us exactly what happened in more detail during this period of time. Let's just see the mitzvahs and we'll finish. Pasuk lamed vav in the mitzvah shema. I'm sorry, pasuk lamed zayin. We did that pasuk lamed zayin. V'yal t'chas rutz lemar avoinam yihyu migulim. Their sin should be exposed. V'nirim lehalois chema v'lin koim nakam. And it should appear to bring forth anger and revenge. Do not let their sin be covered. Rather, let it be exposed so that your anger shall come up and you shall take revenge. Ki chisu be'eis lagom, at the time of their mockery, herekas, they express anger, mul boine hachoyma, b'choshvam, sha'al yidei zeh, by mocking the Jewish people, they will dampen yirpu yidei min ha'malacha, they will cool off. V'nivneh, Im called Divrei Halak, so he goes on to say, it's not a prayer, he goes on to say that despite their mockery, we succeeded. Im called Divrei Halak, v'akas lo in Chonu HaBinyin, the Binyin was not put aside, it was not put down. Hunach, it was not put down, but rather it was erected. Vati Kosher, Ki be'ot shayaba pratzos, as long as there were breaches, lo haysachayim devuka, ukeshur was not connected. Zebezev, hasher sasma pratzos, niskasher zebezev. Ad chetzi, what does that mean? Adain le sasma pratzim kim ad chetzi achayimah. Ulamay lo oyim omar derech klolo shabanu kolachayimah misav yata bol sabr ma asher nasa bishchabinyin. And later we're going to say in detail exactly what happened. Right now we're stopping in the middle, and that's the next parak where it's going to tell us exactly what happened during this period of time. And then later on, in the later parak of Nechemi, it's going to resume and tell us what happened, how they completed the second phase of the building. So here the Mitzvah say not like Rashi. So he's saying an entirely different interpretation. According to the Mitzvah, that when they got to the midway point, that itself served as an inspiration to go to the next phase. You have to have breakpoints. That's why Daf Yomi, the whole success of Daf Yomi is, you have a scene every couple of months, every couple of weeks. You have to go so quickly, you have breakpoints, and you have what?
Milestones.
So that's exactly what it's saying. According to the Mizrahi, Rashi does not seem to say that. Rashi just says, "Vatikosher kasher nikshura achoyim avdim esatchetzio." Oz, until it was done, hoyolev ha'amlot u'mashach la'asos b'nechama. Rashi just says the statement that the people, despite the fact that they were mocking us, we had the will and desire, and we succeeded until we got halfway. The Mitzudos does not learn the pasuk in that fashion. He learns Vatikosher kol achoyim ad chetzio, period, put there a hard break, we succeed in building half of the wall, and that itself, reaching that milestone, was a source of inspiration to go further. Vayehi lev la'am lasos, to do more. But in the meantime, Perek Dalet tells us all of the details of what happened during that period of time.